we're standing. All right, let's look to the Word of God this morning, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. All right, please follow along. Verse 11, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know all the things. I know some things, but I don't know all the things that can and do break the hearts of parents. But I've heard stories, and I know some myself. But we look at our passage, and today it gives us one story of a young man who broke his father's heart. For whatever reasons, the son was dissatisfied with his father. Maybe dislike for his family, perhaps tired of his life on the farm. And he wanted to go off and make a life for himself in the world. And first he demanded his father's inheritance, pretty much wishing him dead. Then he took off with everything he had. He went and did everything he had ever wanted, wasted everything, and was living like an animal. We have the climax of this story in the third part of the parable of a son who was the most lost of the three stories that we have. Now, with the first two parts of the parable, we can feel bad for the sheep and for the coin, or for the woman who lost the coin. But this is a story that we can identify with the most, because the son gets lost by his own intentional will, not by some wandering like the sheep or helplessly like the coin, but willfully and defiantly. He is lost because he wants to be lost. But for the important fact that he is a son, there is even greater joy when he is found. Now, the parable of the lost son is probably the most well-known of the three that we've been working through here. And to really get to know what the story is all about, we will be approaching each character of the story into three separate messages: the son, the father, and the brother. So today we're going to focus on the prodigal son. Now look with me to the beginning of our passage in verse 11. It said, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Now here is an example of a son who we can describe as pretty messed up. And this is a messed up son. And you have to admit, for a son to say something like this to his own father, he has lost his way way before. I mean, he was lost way before these words were ever spoken. And if we are honest, we may discover that we ourselves are more lost than we would like to admit. One pastor said, the prodigal son is partly who we are, not just who we used to be. Because in our hearts, we want to leave home again and again and again. So let's break this up into a few headings. The first one is lost at home. You know, if we look at this son's request lightly, we might be tempted to think that this was a son just asking his dad for some money, which sons do, they can do that. But the son's request was, as I referred to it, it's pretty messed up. It's wicked. This request meant that his son could not wait until his father passed away. As the younger son, he would have known that he was entitled to one-third of his father's inheritance. Maybe he would just start thinking about it one day. Man, what could I do with all the money that my dad would give me someday? And the more he thought about it, he became impatient at all the things that he wanted to do. And he got to the point where he could not wait any longer. So he decided to demand for it right away. And I think it's helpful here for us to have the background on ancient property law. In those days, a man did not have to wait until he died to pass on his legacy. It was not uncommon for a father to grant his son the legal right to his inheritance while he was still living. Now, if the father were to do this, the income from the property still belonged to him. Although his son had the legal right to the capital, he did not have the right to sell it. Legally, it belonged to the son. But the son could not use it for himself until his father died. So if you bring this example to today, it would be something like this. Let's say your mom wanted you to have a family heirloom, an antique table. And one day, it'll belong to you. But not until she passed away. And in the meanwhile, your mom loves using this table. She uses it every day to have her cup of tea. It would be more than just messed up for you to take it away from her today. Now, this son did not just want his father's property. He wanted the right to sell it. He wanted full control of his inheritance, and he wanted it right away. Now, this is utterly unthinkable. When the son demanded his inheritance, he was, in effect, saying that he wished his father to die. And for any son to think this and to demand this, he must have had to despise his own father for a long time. You just don't wake up one day, one morning, and declare that you hate your mother or father. You just don't do that. Something must have been building up for a long time. One writer summarizes the son's attitude toward his family like this. My father glooms and advises me. My brother sulks and despises me. My mother catechizes me till I want to go out and swear. Now, the prodigal son, he wanted to do so much more than just swear. He was tired of perhaps being the younger son. Maybe always being told what to do by someone else in the house. He wanted to go wherever he wanted to go. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. But to do that, he had to be able to spend whatever he wanted to spend. And to do that, he had to get money. He had to get as much money as he could from his father. Are you beginning to see how lost this son was? He was lost way before he demanded his inheritance. He was lost while he was still living at home. He was lost in his selfishness. He was lost in his lack of gratitude. He was lost in his rebellion. He was lost in his greed. He was lost in his rejection of authority. But mainly he was lost because he did not love his father. See, it wasn't just that he broke the law. I mean, technically he didn't break any laws. He was entitled to one-third of his father's estate, Deuteronomy chapter 21. But what he did do was break his relationship with his father. And by doing that, he broke his father's heart. So pause for a moment. Can you see how lost you are sometimes? I mean, here was a young man who wanted what his father could give him, but he did not want his father. Because this is what it means to be lost. It means not loving the Father. It means wanting things from God, but not wanting God himself. When we have this attitude, what we are expressing is not simply a failure to love our Father in heaven, but rather what we are expressing is a hatred toward God. And whether it's often or not, we all do this. We all do take on this attitude. We object to the Father's discipline, and we want to live life on our own terms. We complain about what we have, what God is giving us, demanding that He gives us something better. We assume everything about the Father's love, expecting His blessing without depending upon Him in prayer. Even when we are at home with the Lord, our prodigal hearts sometimes long to run away. This is what sin is, running from God. So he was lost at home. The second thing that we can see is that he's lost when he's not home. Now this lost son is as lost as he was at home. How do you think he fared in his lostness when he left home, when he ran away? Look with me to the next verse, verse 13. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Now, when we read this verse, everyone realizes the son's plan all along. He wanted all this money because he wasn't coming back. He was saying, you know, I'm done with this house. I'm done with this family. I'm done with all the rules. I'm gone. I'm off to see the world. So what this son wanted, what this son really wanted, was the freedom to sin. And in order to have that freedom, he had to get away from his father, away from his family, and away from the community of faith. As long as he stayed home, he could not do that. So he took all the money, liquidated all the assets, and he cut ties, and he said, see ya. Now, you take this son's plans in today's language, and sounds something like this. His journey was a quest for personal freedom and fulfillment. This is what the world says. It's okay, you go. Discover yourself. Because this is what you should do. But the Bible puts this in a different way, doesn't it? The problem with this quest was that this full enjoyment could only be had by fleeing from his father's house and all it stood for in terms of tradition, authority, objective values, and social moral responsibilities to his father and to his brother. We can say that such attitudes are simply the results of the modern times. But in truth, these attitudes are not just from today. They are the attitudes of a sinful heart. Because when we are left to ourselves, we would not choose to stay under God's authority. We'd rather wander in a far-off country of sin. Haven't we seen this all too often in the church? Sometimes, just like the prodigal son, they are lost before they leave. When you look at the church today, now let's be honest, there are some people who leave because God has called them to the mission field. God has called them to another church for church planting, something that is of His cause and will. But when you look at the church at large, how many people leave because something was brewing in their hearts long before their departure? Jesus called this in verse 13, He squandered His property in reckless living. Now, we're not told how He wasted His money, but soon the money was gone. And here I think we can see the lostness of this young man. But it is more important to see the temptations of our own prodigal hearts. Like the lost son, we want to run away from God and live life the way we want to live. We waste our time pursuing what we want. We squander our talents by not using them for the Father's joy. We squander our time by not investing them in expanding God's kingdom. This is what Jesus calls reckless living. Do not waste your father's inheritance, but rather invest them in the kingdom of God. Well, you could say that the son was at a pretty bad place in his life. He cut ties with his family, he wasted all of his money, and then it got worse. In verse 14, we see the lowest point. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Now you keep reading, verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So not only was he out of money, which he thought would give him everything he wants, that he wanted, but because of the famine, he didn't even have food. Verse 15 shows us how desperate this son got. He was so desperate that he got a job under one of the citizens of that country. Now, which country do you think that was? What's important here is that this country was not his home. He was in Gentile country. A young man, a young Jewish man, got lost and hired himself out to a Gentile in a far country. And adding salt to the wound, verse 16 tells us that this godless Gentile was a hog farmer. He raised pigs, which was utterly detestable to the Jews. According to Mosaic law, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7, they were ceremonially unclean. One rabbi once said, "Cursed be the man who breeds swine." So when the Pharisees and the scribes heard this story from Jesus, they were most likely dismayed at the thought of a nice Jewish boy from a wealthy, upstanding Jewish family finding work herding Gentile pigs. What could be more disgusting and more humiliating? But verse 16 tells us there's one more thing, even more humiliating. The son, this lost son, was so hungry, so desperate that he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. Under no circumstances would any human being consider pigs food to be edible. But look where the son is. No matter how much he begged, no matter where he looked or who he asked, no one would give him anything. Now, how many of you guys have ever been to a third world country? Anybody? You guys have been to a third world country? There's only one animal that does well in a third world country. Guess what it is? It's not the cow. It's not the dogs. It's not horses. It's the pigs. Because they can eat anything. You have landfills or dumps. Pigs. I mean, no joke. I've seen pigs as large as cows. Guess what? People don't want to eat those things. After my last visit to a third world country, I didn't want to eat pigs for a while. And usually I love pork. Now this son was so desperate that this Jewish young man was becoming jealous of pigs because of the food they were eating. To a young Jewish man, there could be no lower point than this. He was lower than the filthiest of all animals. So get this. This is the picture. All right, people of God, brothers and sisters, this is the picture of your and my spiritual condition outside of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be lost. It's like being without money, without food, and without friends. One theologian described our sinful lostness like this. This is the experience that comes to one who refuses to trust himself to his father, but delivers himself to a stranger, a deserter from affection, a refugee from fatherly love. He is assigned to swine, sentenced to them, and given over to their service. He wallows in their muddy fodder. The rush of restless herd bruises and soils him, so he perceives how wretched and bitter it is to have lost the happiness of peaceful life in his father's house. This is where running away from Christ leads. When we run for our own pleasures, when we live for more and more possessions, we are starving our souls. And this is where the story changes in our text today. When this son is at his lowest point, I mean, he had nothing left. He didn't have food. We can even say that he was dying. But the next few verses, starting in verse 17, tells us the thought that will end up saving his life. Verse 17 to 19, But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" Now think of this son's, just his mentality and his heart. I mean, you know he's prideful, right? He was not thinking this the moment he ran out of money. He wasn't thinking this first when he ran out of food. This was not his first thought when he had to work with pigs. This was surely not his first thought when he wanted to eat the food of the pigs. The man had his pride. Now he is at his lowest point and he begins thinking about home. The pride of a man is starting to finally fall away. Now up until this point, he was willing to endure anything as long as he didn't have to swallow his pride and go back to his father. But now that he's at the bottom of the pit, he is finally beginning to see how lost he really was. He's finally beginning to see that he had nowhere to go but home. If he continued to go down this path, the next step undoubtedly would have been death. So now that he's finally decided to go back home, he's starting to think about what he needs to say to his father. And he's got to say something, right? He's thinking about the apology, his repentance. He's practicing the words in hopes that these words would be enough to touch his father's heart. Verse 18, he recognizes that he's a sinner. He's not blaming anyone else. He's blaming himself now. He also realizes that he has sinned not just against his father, but also against his God. He knows that his sin is so great that he is no longer deserving of the sonship he once had in his father's house. He was expressing his complete unworthiness. Just let that word hang for a moment. Just think about that. Unworthiness. As someone who rejected his own father, shamed him, and wasted everything they gave him. Now, these are all marks of true repentance that Jesus was talking about. When we are lost, we need to go back and see our mistake. We need to admit that we are sinners instead of making excuses. Confess our sins to God and to the people that we have sinned against. It means acknowledging that we are no longer worthy to be God's sons and daughters. You know, a lot of times, especially when raising children, I used to do this with the kids, especially when they're younger than now. We teach them to say, "I'm sorry," right? The thing is, as I get older, especially as I'm growing in the Lord, the words "I'm sorry" is just, it's rarely enough. I mean, if you bump someone by accident, that's an "I'm sorry." "I'm sorry, my bad." You know, if I'm having gas problems, I burp in your face, "My bad." That's an "I'm sorry." That's not forgiveness. That's not asking for forgiveness and leaving forgiveness at the hands of another. "I'm sorry." It's just, you know, for the kids, obviously the kids are a little better now, but when they were young, it just became a formula. I don't remember all the things the kids fought about or got in trouble about. They do something, "I'm sorry." It should be good enough. And in their frustration, when they get in trouble or when they got in trouble after the apology, their complaint would be, "Dad, what's up? I said I'm sorry." It's not enough. But in our pride, many of us struggle even just to do that. So, yet even as we confess our complete unworthiness, we also need to remember that God is still our Father. This was and is the lost son's only hope. Now, he didn't feel worthy as a son, but think about it. When he thought of home, whose father does the son refer to in verse 18? Did this lost son go to any random father's house and ask to be a servant? Because verse 18, it says, "I will arise and go to my father." Even in sin, even in his lostness, he was still a son. And because the father was his father, he could hope that he will not be completely rejected. even hope to be accepted and be saved. So he got back up and he headed for home, the place where every sinner needs to return. Repentance is getting back up and going back to God. So we can see in the son that he's on the right track now. His spiritual condition is improving. So it seems like he's right on track. Well, it seems like he's on the right track because he's correctly pinpointed the problem himself, his rebellion. But look at the last phrase in verse 19. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He doesn't quite get it right. Right there. In the son's mind, his repentance is not enough. So he adds to it. Let's back up a little bit though. Verse 17, look back there again. This is where we get the first sign of a problem. It says, but when he came to himself. Now literally it says return to himself. Now, to himself is not where he should be turning at all. Because it's what got him in this mess in the first place. And more than that, his motivation is all wrong. Because you read the rest of verse 17, follow with me again. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? What's his motivation to go back home? It's not the father's love. It's the father's food. See, the lack of food, we know, is not the real problem. The son's survival is not the real problem, but it is rather the broken relationship with his father. But for the son, his repentance for him is a way to get food. How many of us are guilty of that? We apologize because we want something else. You know, for a lot of children, it's the electronics, right? We talk about that as parents a lot. Take away their phone, their iPads, or whatever it is, their game systems. I think I was talking to one of the dads a while ago. They don't even take away the system. They just take away the power plug. So smart. You don't have to put away everything. Just take away the plug. So even though this son is ready to go back to his father's house, it is unclear if he is ready to return to his father's love. He wants to get back to his father and use his father as a means to get food. Now back to verse 19. The plan after repenting is to tell the father to treat him as a servant. The son is still telling his father what to do. In verse 17, when he says that the servants have more food, more than enough bread, literally, it is translated as bread and to spare. This meant that whatever their wages were, they had enough to feed themselves and even save a little. So what's his plan? What's the son's plan? He's thinking about food and he's thinking about money. His plan is to work off the debt. If I work as my father's servant, I'll be fed and I'll have money to pay it back. So the son's plan boils down to this. Dad, I'm sorry. I messed up. I sinned against you and I sinned against God. Let me work for my salvation. He is thinking like a servant and not a son. The son thinks that the problem between his father and himself is lost money. He wants to propose a plan to make that right. He still does not realize that the problem was a broken relationship. Not money. Isn't this how we treat God? Even after we've come to know Jesus? It's cold. My hands are shaking. I know. All too often we look at God not as our Father, but as our Master. We are tempted to think that His love is conditional. Whenever we sin, we think that God no longer loves us. Belief in total, absolute forgiveness does not come readily. Another writer describes the son's repentance like this. It is repentance, but not a repentance in the light of the immense love of a forgiving God. It is a self-serving repentance that offers the possibility of survival. Well, praise the Lord that this is not the end of the story. Because there is hope. And we know how the rest of the story goes, right? Look with me to verse 20. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. I mean, this is just simply the father's heart. I know we're all sinful fathers, and every father in the world is sinful, let me put it that way. And perhaps there would be fathers who keep the door locked, even as the son's knocking. But that's not normal, right? And I want you to see the father's heart in our passage. The father loved him even while the son hated him. He loved his son even when he ran away from home, even when he squandered off all of his inheritance. And we know this because of what happened in verse 20. It begins by saying, even while he was still a long way off. Jesus said, while he was still a long way off. By the time the son reached the edge of town, he was almost home. But the thing is, he was still lost. He was still lost because he still did not know the Father's love. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is the Father's love, the love God has for sinners. Even before you can figure out what to say, even before you get a chance to repent, our Father in heaven pursues after you. And then you get to verse 21, you have the son's actual repentance. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. It sounds almost exactly like the other one, doesn't it? The difference is he doesn't add anything to that. And this is the kind of repentance that should have been from the beginning. But even more than that, we look to verses 22 and 23. Even before the son can say any more, the father's already busy, isn't he? The father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. An ancient Arab commentator wrote, the lost son did not complete what he was planning to say because he saw from the running of his father to him and the grace-filled way his father met him and embraced him that there was no longer any place for this request to be made into a craftsman. For if after such acts he had made such a request, it would have appeared that he doubted the genuineness of his father's offered forgiveness. The son's repentance wasn't all good. He didn't have it all right. But his repentance was accepted. His sins were forgiven, completely accepted by God. So brothers and sisters, do you know how much the Father in heaven loves you? He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to be your savior. He loves you so much that he is looking for you in the far country of your sin. So will you come home to the Father's love this morning? No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, will you confess that you are more lost than you have ever wanted to admit? And will you ask him to forgive you through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you know that every son and daughter has the same testimony in Christ? We were lost, but God found us. We were unworthy, but God loved us and forgave us. He sent Jesus to bring us home. Let's pray together. Let's take a moment. And again, I don't know where your hearts are today, this morning. And perhaps for some of you, it is to God that you must go on your knees today and seek his forgiveness. But also in practice, perhaps some of you must go to another person and seek their forgiveness. And like I've shared, sometimes the words, I'm sorry, is just not enough. You need to ask for forgiveness as you place that authority in someone else's hands instead of demanding it like the son. Let's take a moment to dwell upon the depth of God's love for you, even when we are still a long ways off. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father in heaven, teach us again what sweet surrender is. That when we surrender to the Lordship of Christ, it's not like the movies or in dangerous situation when a weapon is directed toward us. But Father, a surrender to the one and true God is sweet. It is the best place to be. It is the only place His children should be. So Father, I pray that You'll soften the hearts of Your people this morning. That God, that the warmth of Your embrace, the depth of Your great love is more than enough. So Father, thank You for this morning as we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus listening to Your truth. Lord Father, it's cold, but Lord, thank You that You've stirred the hearts of Your people to weather the discomfort, to come out and to worship corporately together. Lord, we delight in this opportunity and the ability to come. I pray, Father, even as we pray daily for physical health, I pray, Father God, that You'll minister to our hearts, that God, that we surrender to You anew, and with joy being filled because of what You have done for us through Christ and the cross. We ask for a grace that changes us daily. That God, that we are constantly looking outside of ourselves to You for the answer. May we not default to what we find easy or the ways in which we have been, but Father, to the way that You have shown us through Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's rise.